What's up, Yap Squad, and welcome back to another episode of the Yap Sesh Podcast. My name is Brooke, and I am with my co-host, Sawyer, and we are Yap Sesh Podcast, a fangirl podcast where we discuss all things fandom and nerdy and hope to share the experiences of women and queer fans everywhere. Please find us on Spotify and now Apple Podcasts, and also our YouTube channel, and make sure to like, subscribe, share, hit that bell. That's so disgusting. I don't want to say that ever again. Make sure you never miss an episode.
If Brooke sounds like she's not excited, she is. She's just sick again.
Yep. Again. I think I was sick last time we recorded, so it went away, and then here we are. I picked up some Renaissance Fair crud, apparently.
Well, we'll still have a fun episode for you guys, and if you're watching on YouTube, you may notice, actually, if you're listening to this, you may notice a better audio quality from me, because my birthday was last week, and my wonderful partner gifted me with a full new fancy audio setup, and I also have a brand new gaming chair, and I'm very, very excited. I feel like a real podcaster now. But that leads us to our first announcement, which, because I have a setup now, we might start doing Yap Sesh streaming.
Hell yeah. Let's play some games.
Yeah. I think it would be so fun if we played games together, and we could do it live. If you haven't already, join our Patreon. We have exclusive live events, as well as an opportunity to get episodes early, and the unedited versions of these episodes, as well as access to our exclusive Patreon only Discord server, which is popping off. We've got a few members in there, which is so cool. Please join us just for $1.
$1. It's only $1. Give us your money. Just one. Just one of your monies.
Anything but else we have to update on?
I don't think so. I think at the time that this episode releases, we will be updated on Apple Podcasts as well as everywhere else. So before, I was uploading all of our previous episodes, one a day, on Apple Podcasts. We should be caught up now, so if you like to listen to Apple Podcasts, or you are listening on Apple Podcasts, we're so glad to have you. It's great. It's cool. I'm so glad you're here. It's been a week, bro. It's Thursday. I almost said, it's only Tuesday, but it is Thursday.
It is Thursday. Well, we have a wonderful guest here for you tonight or tomorrow. Hello? Okay, our brains are not working today. Amazing. I had my psychiatrist appointment today, and my therapist wanted me to ask her if I had this, crazy episode the other day where I just couldn't focus and I couldn't say words. The words were just, I couldn't think of the words that I needed to say. And my therapist was like, ask your psychiatrist if it's your new meds. So I asked my psychiatrist, and she was just like, that's not medication, that's autism.
Put that on a t-shirt.
Yapsis merch. Anyway, we do have a great episode for y'all today, whenever you're listening to this. And without further ado, let's bring in our guest.
Yay! Hello!
Thank you guys for having me. Welcome. I am really excited to be here.
We're so glad to have you. welcome. Would you like to introduce yourself a little bit? Tell us a little bit about you and who you are.
So my name is Chris. I go by Boba Fett on social media, on TikTok and Instagram. I am a massive nerd. I am very neurodivergent, very, very, very neurodivergent. I'm a huge fangirl of lots of stuff. So I'm definitely excited to be here to talk about whatever it is we're talking about women in sci-fi.
Yes. Yeah. And you're in the right place, because we also are very neurodivergent and also very big fangirls. But we are fangirls in this house, so we always like to ask everybody, what was your first fandom, and what is your favorite fandom that you were a part of? If they are different, or if they are the same, that's cool too.
I think my first real fandom is probably Star Wars. That was the first thing I really got into. I would say a second up to that would be X-Men, the animated series. I really was obsessed with that as a kid. And honestly, Star Wars is probably still my favorite, although I'm the Expanse is creeping in there to possibly being my favorite. And truly, if I was to say sci-fi, it would be the Expanse. And if we're saying like space fantasy, obviously Star Wars.
Valid. Yeah. No, we get a lot of the same responses because we have a lot of Star Wars friends. And so it's like, I'm going to ask you this question anyway, even though I might know the answer. But I mean, sometimes it's surprising.
We get a lot of Star Trek.
We've gotten Star Trek, yeah.
Star Trek.
I feel like
not my favorite, but I do love Star Trek.
Depends what age range of like people that we have on, because we'll get like a lot of like Harry Potter, unfortunately, myself included, being one of my first fandoms. But
Nerfs ruin everything.
Literally, yeah. But yeah. So I also wanted to talk a little bit about. We're going to be talking about women in sci-fi. But we are also women who enjoy sci-fi. So I thought it would be cool to talk a little bit about our like experience with the genre. I'm going to include a little bit of fantasy in there too, because I think there's some overlap and, you know, the debate of what is Star Wars? Is that sci-fi? Is it fantasy? Is it both? It's kind of still always there. So I wanted to ask to start, what was your first introduction into the genre? If it's Star Wars, cool. If it's something else, that's cool too. And then, was it someone that introduced sci-fi to you, or did you kind of find it on your own? Because we've gotten mixed answers from other people that we've talked to about this.
So my dad and my brother, my mom's not really very nerdy at all. Mm-hmm. She's into like cross-stitching and baking, which is cool, but definitely not sci-fi. My dad used to watch the original Star Trek series a lot and Battlestar Galactica. So those were kind of my gateways into sci-fi. Mm-hmm. I guess you could probably throw Alien and like, I guess you can't, Mad Max isn't. Is that sci-fi? Actually, I don't know. No, that's more like dystopian.
Ish. Is it? Ish. I feel like.
But like in RoboCop and like that kind of stuff, right? Like the 80s and 90s sci-fi stuff. BSG, for some reason, that really stuck out in my head. The Cylons freaked me out real bad. And then with Star Wars, it was my brother. My dad does not like Star Wars at all. My brother's a huge Star Wars fan. And I think I was about 3 years old. And that's some of my earliest memories, is watching those TV shows and seeing Star Wars and just being utterly obsessed.
Very nice. Yeah. I feel like it's something that I kind of found more on my own. I know I did. We had an episode a few weeks ago talking about video games. And I feel like there's a lot of overlap with science fiction stuff and video games too. And so I would play video games with my parents when I was little, which was cool. Both of my parents would play. So I feel like if I had to pick, that would have been my first experience with a sci-fi genre that was like introduced to me by someone or like alongside with somebody. But I feel like mostly all of the other fandoms that I've ever found myself in were things that I've discovered on my own, or maybe through like friends at school. What about you, Sawyer?
Yeah, I can't remember what exactly brought me to sci-fi. I can say that my parents, when they were dating, I think I've mentioned this on the show before, but when they were dating, one of their favorite date nights was watching the next episode of Star Trek, The Next Generation. So that was always something, you know, when we would always go to see whatever new movies were coming out. Neither of my parents are huge Star Wars fans, but I stumbled into my love of Star Wars at a very, very young age. And I mean, I grew up when the prequels were coming out, so I fell in love with Padme, and I very distinctly remember when Revenge of the Sith came out, my mom was so nervous because it was a PG-13 movie, and I was 5, and she was like, oh no, like what? So I remember that she had a friend who was a huge Star Wars fan, and she called her and was like, please tell me which parts I need to fast forward so that my daughter can watch this movie. So and I don't know, did they do a VHS of Revenge of the Sith? They may have, because I feel like I had a VHS tape, but
I know they did for Phantom Menace for sure, because I had it. I had like several different copies of it, like the big special boxes. Yeah. That were all huge. Mm-hmm.
But in any case, yeah, that was kind of, you know, always just what I gravitated towards, I think. I don't know that I was necessarily introduced to it by anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I since then, it's always been my favorite, you know. And yeah, Star Wars is more space fantasy, but anything like space and science-y has been my shtick forever. I don't know how I didn't realize I was going to be a scientist, because that was not my plan at all until I got into college. So...
That's how it happens sometimes. But I wanted to ask, like, what is it about this sci-fi fantasy sphere of things that we're drawn to? Like, why do we like it so much? I feel like we can all view this through, like, not only a feminine lens, but also a neurodivergent lens. And I feel like there's a lot of fellow spicy neurodivergent people in this space. So I feel like I can think of so many things of why I like it, but what about you guys?
Well, I know for Star Trek it was the whole idea, you know, aliens aside, but Klingons and Vulcans, or not Vulcans, but the violence there, but like knowing that it's more utopian and that Earth itself has kind of overcome a lot of the things that make humans suck, if you know what I mean. And it just felt kind of safe. I know that sounds weird, especially when you have Next Gen where somebody gets sucked into a black pit and dies that way, or like there's space battles and stuff. But the idea that Earth has overcome all of these things, that like capitalism and racism and all these horrible things, even at a young age, was really appealing to me. Mm-hmm. And seeing women do cool stuff, like that wasn't something that I was used to seeing, because it's always very male driven. Mm-hmm. And I think that's what got me in. And like it's the whole idea of adventure in a frontier that we don't understand or know much about, which is really fascinating and exciting.
Yeah, I think those points for sure. And especially with Star Trek, you know, like there is such a emphasis on human nature and real world storylines that have been applied to the sci-fi universe of Star Trek. That's kind of, you know, Star Trek, for all that Star Wars is political, I would say that Star Trek is even more so.
Like, oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that was something that I really grew to appreciate when I had an interest in watching Star Trek when I was like, you know, maybe a teenager is when I started actually looking into why my parents loved that show so much. But which I think is a great age. That is a great age to get into Star Trek, I think. You know, yeah, for, I mean, I just loved Padme. I loved her outfits. I loved that she had agency in her story for most of it. She was the first character that I can remember looking up to and wanting to be like. And so, you know, I'm fortunate that I've always been able to see myself in sci-fi and in Star Wars. And, you know, and I also think that there's just an undeniable appeal. You said aliens, but also just the technology of it all, the Bacta and the holograms and all of that stuff. Like, there's just something about that aesthetic that I just adore.
And Star Wars has a very specific aesthetic too, yeah, that mm-hmm. is undeniable, and I love it. I love it a lot.
Yes.
And I also love Princess Leia, by the way. Princess Leia being, yes, like the first princess like that I ever saw. She's a princess, but she is a self-rescuing princess, and she strangled a space slug that had her as a prisoner. Like, that was really cool to see as a little kid.
Yeah, that is, and shout out to Carrie Fisher for being like, nah, this is how this is gonna go. I mean,
yes,
without her, we wouldn't have the Leia that we do.
Exactly.
What I really like about I lost it. Hold on. Buffering. Oh my god, what was I gonna say? What I really love about the Star Wars. Oh, that's what I was gonna say. What I really love about like the Star Wars aesthetic is that because the first movies came out in like the late 70s, 80s, is that is now like the hairstyles, are like canon to the timeline of Star Wars. So whenever you see something that is set in like the original trilogy period, it's like, now we got to give them all these 70s haircuts. And it's so much fun that like, not only is there a rich like history of Star Wars, but it also is like a rich history reflection of like our real world, what was happening at the time, which I think is so cool. And I mean, if I think any, you can look at really any media, but especially sci-fi, I feel like follows that a lot, especially like Star Trek, because it's been around for so long. Like you have some, like there are through lines of aesthetics that like continue from, you know, from the beginning. I'm thinking about like Doctor Who as well, is very similar. Something about sci-fi, I think, that I've always been drawn to is that the idea that it is like there is elements of fantasy in science fiction, but it's more grounded in like real science that we can explain, which I think, and what I always loved about like Doctor Who is it connects a lot of things to like real events or real places, and even if it's not like it's a crazy alien planet, but I love the episodes where like they go back in time to somewhere on Earth and they, you know, add in like, oh, this thing was actually caused by, you know, an alien that was living under the ocean the whole time. I don't know, I love that kind of stuff, the little like plays on real history. I wanted to ask, oh, that was the other thing I was gonna ask, because we're all online and we all engage in fandom spaces online, I wanted to ask, what was the, like, when did you start engaging in fandom, like, online? Because I know I grew up watching and consuming it, but it wasn't until I was, like, a little bit older that I started, like, actually engaging with, like, the fandom community online, whether that was, like, Tumblr or, like, forum spaces or whatever.
I'm trying to think. I know that there was a period, I didn't have access to a computer in high school. My parents are very religious and I thought that they were like gateways to evil. So we didn't have one and I'd have to go to my friend's house, but I did. And I'm trying to remember, cause I'm old. Okay. I'm 41. The internet was relatively new for like access in homes, but I would go to my friend's house and I would go to, and it might've, I don't know if LiveJournal was LiveJournal or was something like Tumblr before Tumblr was a thing, mm-hmm. where you could do fan fiction, and I would write fan fiction for a character that I made up for the prequels, and she was Qui-Gon's daughter, she was in love with Obi-Wan, and so I wrote my own fan fiction. That's kind of when I started doing it, mm-hmm. And I feel like back then it was kind of nice because the community, like the internet community, was not what it is now. Now there are beautiful things about it now, mm-hmm. but I feel like it was a lot more what's the word I'm looking for? Not welcoming, but positive. Like I was always encouraged to keep writing, and like it was dumb. I mean, it was silly. It was very silly mm-hmm. fan fiction. And then I really didn't engage online beyond like comment sections much mm-hmm. until I got into TikTok and I started watching other Star Wars creators. And I was encouraged by friends that are like, listen, I listen to you talk about Star Wars like all day long. I've done it before when we've gone out drinking. Like, why don't you just make videos? And I was like, I don't know. Like, no one wants to hear me babble about Star Wars. And then I started doing it. And for the most part, it's been pretty positive. Yes, there have not been great things about it. But overall, I have found the Star Wars community online to be really great. And the sci-fi community online to be really great.
Yeah.
I think what makes like what it makes it feel, I guess, more toxic now is the accessibility of social media, and algorithms are going to show you what you engage with. Whereas before, when you were using, you know, you had to search for forums of people that were talking about things, or you had to go on Tumblr, which is not as much of like a front-facing app. It was a lot of like more anonymous pages. Yes. Which you would think that would be like kind of the opposite, because people are talking behind like a keyboard and not their face, but the crazy things that people say with their full first and last name on the internet these days is something.
My father's a dastard, really.
It's crazy, but I feel like it was a little bit more like niche to like you had to physically really search out for those spaces. And then, yes. So I feel like the people that were really haters did not want to go through that effort. Whereas now it's really easy for them because it, you know, they keep commenting on stuff that they hate. So they keep seeing stuff and then they keep commenting and that's a whole circle jerk of toxicity. But there's still good, there's good things about it too. So we like to keep to that mostly.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. But I, what is everybody's favorite like sci-fi things other than Star Wars? Because obviously we're all Star Wars girlies in this house. It can be books, TV shows, games, other things.
All of the above. No, really though, sci-fi video games are some of my favorite forms of consuming sci-fi media, because then you get to engage with the story in a completely different way. Obviously there are Star Wars video games and whatnot, but you know, really, like, especially sci-fi horror, Resident Evil, or you know, this is a great debate in my house. I say The Last of Us is sci-fi. My partner says no way. But I think it is definitely sci-fi.
It's the first thing on this outline. I said, everybody drink. Brooke is about to talk about The Last of Us.
I say it's definitely science fiction. I think anytime you're messing with any kind of like bioweapon, like obviously.
Yeah.
So.
And the show made it so connected to biology. That was one of my favorite parts of the show adaptation, was just that first fucking opening scene where they're talking about climate change and how the temperature of the earth is getting warmer and that the fungi that could only survive in certain things can now survive in humans because of the temperature rising. And that connection literally blew my mind. I thought about it like literally the entire week after that episode.
It was so well done too. It was
so good.
Yes.
Yeah. And that's why Resident Evil 7 Biohazard is my favorite one, because they, first of all, that is the game that revived the series, but it really decided to go in with the science, and they also took the fungal approach in that game. And this is why I do not care for Resident Evil Village, because the story of Village makes 7 look like a joke in my opinion. But you know, whenever sci-fi gets uncomfortably close to reality, that's my favorite kind of sci-fi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was thinking like all of the, I love zombie apocalypse media. I feel like that all, I would consider it all fall under the sci-fi genre.
For sure.
I love The Walking Dead too. I don't talk about it as much as I do talk about The Last of Us, but like, I don't know what it is. I love, because when I love like grounded stories, not just sci-fi, but I'm thinking about like the fantasy stories that I like to engage with. Lord of the Rings has always been something that was like difficult for me to kind of get into, because that's more like very high fantasy. Whereas I love Game of Thrones and like that whole world, because there are so much more like grounded historical kind of elements to it. And it's very like, not that Lord of the Rings isn't political, but that's not its like main focus in the same way that like the Game of Thrones, Song of Ice and Fire world kind of is.
Yeah.
I think that's why I like science fiction, is because it has that more grounded feeling of like, these are things that are familiar to us. And now here is this like extra terrestrial supernatural type thing that we're now introducing to it. And it's not like, it's scary to me, but it's, because it's fiction, it's also like, it feels safe for me to engage with. Like, I can't tell you, every time I go somewhere or I'm like driving somewhere or I go to a new place, I'm like, okay, so if there was a zombie apocalypse that broke out right now, am I safe? Where should I go? What is my escape plan? What am I taking with me? Like, I don't know, but it's like, it's nice to kind of engage in the world in that way.
My old roommate, who he's my ex-boyfriend, but we used to have a bug out bag in our car that was literally for the zombie apocalypse. Like, we had like the little rope bracelets that you could like hammer, those are what they're made out of, like the nylon stuff. I had a like a multi-tool axe thing. We had all like, and it was a legit thing. Like he and we had all these plans in place, like if there was sort of apocalypse like that. And I think that's one of the things that makes sci-fi work so well with horror as well, because when you ground it in something that is based in science fiction, like it makes it a possibility. And it makes it so much scarier because it feels a little bit closer to the real world. And that's, for me, that's why I love zombie apocalypse things as well. Like 28 Days Later is one of my favorite movies and my top 10 favorite movies ever of all time.
I'm very picky. It has to be, like I said, it has to be close enough to real science for me to really engage with it. So I can't.
I think that's why 28 Days Later freaked me out, though, because rabies, I don't feel like people are scared of rabies enough. Like, it is, as someone who worked with wildlife, it's terrifying. Mm-hmm. And because they leaned into, they didn't say it was rabies, but it basically is like a version of rabies that spreads much faster, right? I don't remember 20 Weeks Later very well, but 28 Days Later is still one of my more favorite zombie sci-fi movies. Like, I really like that one. Because rabies freaks me out, man. I don't know. It's really terrifying. Like prions and stuff. Ugh, like it just freaks me right out. Which is also why Last of Us freaks me out, because the idea of fungus taking over your body because it can't, like right now it can't do that to humans, is really terrifying because there would be nothing we could do about it, at least right now.
We're going to see it in frogs before we die. There's already, did y'all see that frog that had a mushroom growing out of him?
Yeah. Yeah. Yep,
it's coming. Coming.
It's like the universe saw The Last of Us and was like, oh, you guys like that. Let's make that real life now. We no, didn't say we wanted it to happen.
I have, you looked at my AO3 history, didn't you? Fucking universe.
How dare you?
Let's talk about that. No, I think like even the Last of Us show, the game didn't really explain where this outbreak came from. If you read a lot of the collectibles and things, you can see there's like clues, but it was never out, it was never stated like in the game. So the show was just kind of like, nah bro, it's the flower from, what is it, Indonesia, I think is where it started.
I think so, yeah.
America, though.
Oh there, yeah,
there is a part in the game where they, oh, I had made a video on it, I don't remember the exact details. There is something in the game that is had to do with food, and I think it had to do with flour.
There's the very beginning when you're playing as Sarah and you open up that newspaper that's in the bathroom. I think there's something in there.
I think so, yeah.
In that article about that.
But they leaned into it in the show. Yeah, you're right. I really like that they were like, this is, and that is, like, that's one of the reasons why you're not supposed to eat raw flour, not because you're going to become a zombie, but because there are microbes and stuff there that can make you really sick. And so, like, you're not supposed to do that. So I like that that's where that idea kind of came from too. And it makes sense that it would spread really fast because flour isn't everything. Mm-hmm. And so naturally, yes, the majority of humans would eat something made out of flour. That's really smart.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of the other, I don't think a lot of people liked World War Z, at least like them. I didn't, it's based on a book, I think. I liked the movie because I loved the idea, spoilers for this like 15-year-old movie. But they figured out that if you are like infected with an incurable like deadly disease of some other kind, the like zombies won't touch you. So there was people that had like terminal cancer. It was like a little kid, I think, that had like terminal cancer, and all the zombies were just like walking right around him because I guess he was like not good to eat or whatever. I don't know. I love that you can explain things with science. That's like the one part of The Walking Dead that I don't love, is that it's never explained where the source is. And then I think like the comic book author at one point said that like it was aliens injected this thing into
something like that.
Something. And I'm like, I don't know about all that. I would rather it be like some sort of like fucking human mistake that started.
I don't know if he was joking or not about that, because I've read all the comics. I really love the comics. And there's like, there's just never explained. Although, to be fair, I have not read the last three comics. I've been holding off on it for, I don't know how many years it's been gone now. Because they killed my favorite character in the comics, which was Andrea. She's terrible in the show. She's the worst in the show. She is the best in the comic. She's amazing.
That's what I've heard. Yeah, I've read some of
them. She's phenomenal.
I've started reading them, but the thing is, I watched the show and I really liked the show, and then I found out that Daryl Dixon, my favorite character, is like
he's not
made up for the show, and he's not in the comics. And I was like, well, why do I need to read the comics now? But I know that they are good, and I like to see that the difference is. And I'm like curious why they made like the choices that they made. But I'm for one okay with them kind of making Andrea a shitty character, because that makes Rick and Michonne together.
Yeah.
So
in the comics, it's Andre and Rick.
Yeah.
Michonne's still around. But yeah, I do like that they kind of combined Michonne and Andre together, as because mm-hmm. like I said, Andre is my favorite in the comics. Mm-hmm. Michonne's my second favorite. Yeah. But they did her real dirty in the show. That's I was really upset with what they did to her in the show.
They made her really insufferable.
Yeah. Yes. She was awful. I couldn't wait for her to die. And that was hard for me because I love her. And they even cast, the actress that cast as her, I thought was a pretty good choice for her as well. But yeah, the comic story, especially for her, is much better. Really for kind of all of them. And when I liked the show the best is when it stepped closer to the comics, because the comics are just really good. There is a lot of like shock factor stuff because it's just what the author does.
Yeah.
Sort of like George R. R. Martin's like, I'm going to kill these people in really horrible ways that you love a lot. But yeah, I need to finish the show. I haven't finished it yet.
When did you leave off?
Oh, when they killed Carl.
Valid. That part, let me tell you, I spent the first fucking, up until season 8 when he dies, hating Carl. I was like, he sucks. He's the worst. And then I have not cried over a character more than fucking Carl Grimes, because they just keep bringing him up and it's so emotional. And I'm also kind of mad that they gave I guess Judith's storyline to Carl, because they killed Carl because they didn't want to pay him when he turned 18 or some bullshit, which makes me so mad. Because,
and that's more why I quit the show than the fact that they killed the main character of the comics. Essentially, Carl is basically the main character. And then they also kept Judith alive, which that I could kind of see why they did that, because they didn't want to kill a baby on TV. I get it. She dies with Lori in the comics. But the knowing that the reason why they killed Carl kind of killed the show for me, where it's like, that was really crappy, because you didn't want to pay him adult wages.
Didn't love that. And I've watched it now like 3 or 4 times all the way through. And the second time watching him back, I'm like, Carl is just a kid. I cannot be mad at him for being a child in this crazy situation. And so I ended up liking him a lot more like the second time around. And then I've just cried over him every single time that they bring him up after the fact. And they've done it with the spinoff shows too, which I actually do like the spinoffs that they've put out.
I've seen a couple episodes, like when we've been staying somewhere, and I'm like, oh, this is actually pretty, I can watch this.
Yeah, the Rick and Michonne one was my favorite, because it seemed like it was more of a limited series, so it was very, like, concrete, start to finish. They have second season of, what is it called, Dead City, with Maggie and Negan will be good. The first season was a little, like, I don't know, they introduced too many new characters and then just fucking killed them all. Oh. And so it was like, I don't know.
Well, that's pretty on brand for Walking Dead.
Yeah, that is true. and then I like the Daryl Dixon show. I think what they're doing with his character is interesting. And it reminds me a lot of one of my favorite Walking Dead fanfics. And I went back to that fanfiction and I commented on it. And I was like, have you watched the spinoff yet? Because I swear one of the writers has read this fanfiction. But yeah, I don't know. It's pretty good. And I love zombies. Now that we've gone on a yap tangent about The Walking Dead. What are some other sci-fi things that we like? Or, like, sci-fi, we talked about Leia a little bit and Padme. What are some other, like, prominent female figures? They could be characters or actors or I put in like Mary Shelley is like the mother of science fiction, being the author of Frankenstein. So anything goes. If you want to, we can chat about them.
Yeah, learning about having a woman be the mother of sci-fi was really cool. And I know people argue like, "Who is Edgar Allan Poe?" And I'm like, "Yeah, Mary Shelley was before him. Mm-hmm. She wrote Frankenstein. I think it was 1818. I think is when Frankenstein was published. And mm-hmm. the fact that she, a woman, wrote it, like, and mm-hmm. and published with a woman's name. She also wrote a book called The Last Man, which a lot of sci-fi mm-hmm. is based off of, and it's very relevant now to how we are harming the planet and how capitalism is not the greatest. It was very, as the Chuds would call it, it's too woke. And it cracks me up because she's the mother of sci-fi. We wouldn't have what we have if it wasn't for Mary Shelley. And I think most of the coolest people, like on authors and showrunners and things, have been women that I really, and don't realize it until after the fact, right? We also wouldn't have Star Wars if it wasn't for Marshall Lucas. And I think there was a whole YouTube video about it. And this guy went into details about how if Marshall Lucas hadn't edited Star Wars, we wouldn't have, I don't even know if there would be a Star Wars fandom. Because while George has amazing ideas, he is terrible with dialogue. He is terrible with visualizing fully a seamless, clean production. And she switched things around, and she helped with the dialogue, and she did dissolves, and she had all these great ideas for, hey, maybe we shouldn't talk about this lightsaber and your dad, and then be like, oh yeah, let's play this, or let's do the recording first, and then talk about all this stuff like it's a joke. And then they switched it to where they watched the recording of Leia asking to be saved by Obi-Wan after he's playing with the lightsaber and being told about his dad. And if you do think about the perspective, if you switch that around, it would be a little awkward. And she was like, that's a little weird. Let's change this. And things that they cut out as well, which although now that I'm a nerd, I would like to see it put back in, maybe like an extended version. But I think we need to remember that women are a huge part of sci-fi. Like, we wouldn't have a lot of the things that we do if it wasn't for women. Marsha Lucas is a goddess. And she'll never admit it, by the way. She's always, Marsha Lucas is always like, no, I was just doing my job, like what everybody else was doing. But like, straight up, she's the reason why we have Star Wars.
Yeah, no, really. And I think even George has like credited her to that.
Oh yeah,
for sure. So,
and Carrie, because Carrie was like, George, nobody talks like this, and mm-hmm. they would fix dialogue in real time.
And then became she went on to become like an awesome script doctor. So,
yes,
that's really cool. But yeah, women. Sorry, I just like was dying of a coughing fit, so I kept going off screen because I'm not like don't want to freaking hack on the air.
I think another great one that I wanted to bring up is Nichelle Nichols, because not only was she a Black woman who had a lead role in one of, if not the first, sci-fi television show on a public broadcasting network, but she went on to work with NASA, and she made Star Trek, well, she made it such an important legacy for Black women, for women, period. She was part of the first interracial kiss on screen, on television. And then she spent the rest of her life working with NASA and creating programs so that women, and especially women of color, could have opportunities in aerospace engineering. And you know, I just think that's so cool. And I, you know, I think back to that was the first thing I thought of when I got that comment on my account the other day that was like, oh, sci-fi isn't woke. And I was like,
sure, Jan.
Do you know anything about Star Trek? Do you know anything about Gene Roddenberry? Who was a man, but like, a man with a very powerful vision. And so, yeah, I think that, you know, she's definitely one of those. She still also went to conventions, like, to the end of her life. So she's mm-hmm. someone that I would have loved to meet. And unfortunately, she passed just 2 years ago, or was it last year? It was recently.
Yeah, it was recently. I can't remember.
But, and then of course, Carrie. I will never forget where I was when I found out she died.
And that same.
Really, it was the first day ever in my entire life that I went skiing. And I was 16? Yeah, I think I was 16. I had begged my friend to take me skiing because I'd never been skiing before. And as we were getting on the bus to go up to the mountain, I got the message that she had passed, and it was just totally devastating. And, you know, she meant so much to so many people, and her legacy is pretty unmatched, I would say, when it comes to, I mean, there are so many incredible women who have touched Star Wars, but Carrie Fisher, there's not a single person, I think, Even the worst of the worst, I think, you cannot disrespect Carrie Fisher. Everybody loves Carrie Fisher, and loves what she stood for, and loves, well, maybe not, but loves the impact that she had. And I find myself thinking about her a lot, especially as it relates to things that happen in the Star Wars fandom, because Lord knows she would have been riding for little Leia and Kenobi harder than anybody else ever could. I absolutely loved watching Obi-Wan and seeing Vivian Lyra Blair's portrayal, because it felt like she had Carrie's spirit in her.
Mm-hmm.
And it was so wonderful and bittersweet at the same time.
I miss Space Mom. I the lady that does the paintings of Carrie with the middle finger where she looks like a saint.
Mm-hmm.
I have all three now. I just bought the one where she's holding the cow tongue. You guys have heard the cow tongue story, right?
I haven't.
No, I don't think so.
This is one of my favorite Carrie stories. I'm going to get names wrong because I don't remember who it was, but there was a friend of hers that came to her distraught because she had been sexually harassed by a producer, and Carrie heard about it, and so she chose to go buy a cow tongue and ship it to him with a note, and I'm paraphrasing, I think, because I don't remember exactly, basically like, next time it won't be a tongue and it won't be from a cow, telling him to back off. And yeah, and so that's probably my favorite painting I have of her. And I just got it today, actually, in the mail. But I have the other two that she has too, where she's holding Gary and she has her middle finger up. And that's one of the things I feel like I try to channel her when I have the spoons to do it. I don't always have the spoons to tackle the chuds, because there's a lot and they're jerks. But when I have the spoon, especially usually once they're going after somebody else, they're going after me, whatever. They go after any, but like you guys, I don't like that. I'm very defensive of my friends, and I'm not going to sit there and put it up with it. And I feel like I channel her a little bit. It gives me glee. And I swear to God, every once in a while when I feel really good about it, I swear to you, I see glitter in my house somewhere. And I do have a 6-year-old, okay, who loves glitter, but I'll see it. And if you don't know anything about Carrie, she always had ass tons of glitter with her, like a lot. And she would throw it at people, and like she was covered in it. And it always makes me really happy. But yeah, I think that Carrie would be probably the biggest advocate, especially for women in the fandom. I know she would. She was before she passed. Mm-hmm. And for mental health, especially, and as somebody who is both autistic and ADHD, knowing how hard she fought for people with neurodivergences and addictions meant a lot to me. Mm-hmm. It's how much she loved her daughter and how much she loved life. Like, it got a little darker when she left. For sure. Mm-hmm. And I took that one pretty hard.
I think that just thinking about this and talking about her, I think that I wonder what the state of the fandom would be like if she was still here. I would like to think it wouldn't be as grave as things have been recently. I don't think she would have let half the things we've seen in the last 5 years happen. Because everyone did respect her and everyone did, you know, she was Space Mom. She was Space Mom. But also, total side note, thank you for using the expression, you don't have enough spoons, because I've been using that expression all day, and Billy was like, what are you saying? That's not a phrase. And I'm like,
yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Especially for neurodivergent people, because, I mean, we use extra spoons to just do normal everyday stuff.
And wait, I have a connection. I'm going to bring it back around. We're going to bring it back around to the main topic. So I feel like I hear one of two stories. I hear a lot of the like, hey, mom, dad, I'm autistic. And they're like, well, yeah. Or you get the, you're not autistic. We do all of those things too. That's just normal, because it is very genetic, or it can be genetic.
Yes.
And so now I have been reflecting on my childhood and my parents, specifically my dad, who has 100. So my dad grew up Catholic. He went to Catholic school, you know, where they hit you with rulers if you did.
We have the same wrong. Dad.
I'm serious. Maybe. And so there was no way that he was ever going to be diagnosed by a doctor, because they just literally beat it out of you. But he has like severe ADHD. That's never been diagnosed. And so I've always been like, oh, I know exactly where I get it from, because we're very similar, where we get really into something, we buy all the stuff for it, we spend way too much money, blah, blah, blah. But now that I'm like thinking more on like the autism spectrum, I was talking to my boyfriend and I was like, I don't know, like I've never really viewed my dad that way as like autistic. And he goes, The last time we were at your house, your dad talked to me for 45 minutes about flashlights. And so I've been doing a lot of reflection, and I'm like, you know what? There is my dad, the way that his sense of humor can be perceived by some people as probably not socially appropriate. And just other things like that, that I'm like, wow, that's crazy. But to bring it back around, my dad is also, was an addict. He's been sober for like almost 40 years. And I feel like we don't talk enough about how there is a large, like neurodivergent people are very susceptible to becoming addicts, because the world that we live in is not set up for us. I know myself in college would cope with drinking at parties and drinking too much because I didn't have to worry about the social anxiety anymore. But all that to say, bringing it back around to Carrie Fisher talking and advocating for neurodivergent people and addicts. So we did it, folks. We can keep some of this stuff in the episode now. But yeah. Science fiction, women, love all of it. I really don't have much more on the outline that we haven't talked about. So if there's anything else that we want to highlight that we didn't talk about, I did want to mention fan fiction, because fan fiction also kind of stemmed from the science fiction genre, because I believe the first science fiction came out of, or the first fanfic came out of Star Trek. Am I crazy?
Yes, you are correct.
Yeah.
I believe it was Kirk and Spock. Pretty sure it was.
But it was.
Oh, we're talking about that kind of fanfiction. Got it. Okay.
That's the fanfiction we usually talk about.
Perfect. Okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah.
That's what I was talking about earlier with my little fanfics. It was definitely. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's always been spearheaded by female authors and by women writers, and stemming from the science fiction. So like, we've always been here. We've always been fans. It's always been woke people. Crazy.
Always.
Surprising. Literally, like, blows my mind that people still are like, oh, they made Star Trek woke now. Like,
hello.
Where have you been?
Oh.
So strange. Like, I used to be really, like, I was writing fan fiction left and right, and then I stopped. Like, I couldn't, I woke up one day and I could not do it anymore. And I don't know if that's because I got too ingrained with roleplay and, like, too used to the dynamic of having a partner to write the story with, because roleplay, at least the way that I roleplay, like, there are people who do, like, fandom roleplay as, like, porn. Like, that's their version of porn.
Yeah.
And that's their prerogative. But I, and the people that I roleplay with, like, we're interested, we're basically just, we can't write fanfiction, so we do it together. Like, it's a story. Mm-hmm. Like, I asked my partner the other day, my roleplay partner, I was like, we need to do a skip. What do you want to do? And she was like, what if Osha gets kidnapped and we have to, like, she kind of has to save her, and it's really angsty and terrible, and they're apart for an extended period of time. But I just got so used to the dynamic of, like, having a conversation with somebody else to bounce ideas off of, and I think that's just ever since then. I mean,
that's how the Expanse series got written, by the way. It was two dudes doing a roleplay game. And that's how they were like, maybe we should write a book. And it's really good. And they wrote it together. Corey is not actually, there's Ty Franken or Ty, whatever. There's two dudes that wrote it. So the James S.A. Corey is not actually a person. It's like their title. But, like, that's valid. It's also fun to bounce ideas off people that are like-minded and can fill in gaps where maybe you have, like, a writer's block, you know? I used to do that in high school. I had a comic book that I had passed back and forth with my best friend. It was a Star Wars comic. Oddly enough, about Boba Fett, and we were bounty hunters. And, like, she would draw a bunch of panels, and she'd give it to me during one of the periods, and I would draw a bunch of panels. I still have it somewhere in the house, but it's fun. It's awesome to do it that way.
Yeah. My issue, I don't know if this is partially a neurodivergent thing, like, I feel like I have so many thoughts, and then each thought has a parenthesis in it. So when I'm reading, it's like, it's so hard for me to condense what I want to say into something that sounds nice. I always, like, I'll have an idea for a fan fiction, and then I'll like outline it a little bit, and then I'll start writing it, and then I will get distracted because ADHD, or I will get 90% of the way there. But as ADHD goes, I'm not a finisher. And then so I'll abandon it, or it'll be something where it's like I'm really into, because I'll have my like month-long hyperfixations where I'm really into something and I'm like, I had this great idea. I was really into Uncharted for like a month and a half. Yes. And I had this really great fan fiction idea. And I was like, I started writing it out because I'm like, I'm going to write this whole like Indiana Jones, like mystery chase, whatever, treasure hunt. And then I started playing Baldur's Gate, and then it just fell off and I never wrote more than one chapter, so I never even put it anywhere, because I hate when other people do that, when they post a really great idea of a fan fiction and they write like one chapter and I'm like, cool, can't wait to see where this goes, and then they never update it. So
that's because we're all neurospicy and we can't finish anything.
It's so true.
Idea, and it's like seven chapters, that's it, that's just seven, and I could do it. But, like, I feel like I would post one, and then I would be like that.
So you're going to write all of it, and then post them one a day, and then see if it, you know, gets off the ground.
Where do people go to, like, put their fan fiction and stuff up anymore?
I either use AO3 or Tumblr. I find a lot of fan fiction on Tumblr.
I didn't know Tumblr was still a thing, actually. I thought
it died. It's still around. I just search, like, if I'm looking for a specific ship or like I like reader fix, I'll just be like character X reader or whatever, and then usually a bunch of stuff will pop up in the hashtags. So yeah, AO3 is harder to navigate, I have found. It just depends.
I hear a lot about it, but I don't know anything about Tumblr. I do, but like I don't know anything about AO3.
It is, I mean, the website is, like, very archaic looking. Like, it's a very basic webpage. It's good if you're, like, searching for something specific, but I've found it hard. Like, Tumblr, now that I've curated, like, an algorithm, I can just scroll on my For You page equivalent and just find new fiction, new fanfics, whereas like AO3 you have to go in looking for a ship or a characters specifically or whatever, and then it's harder to like kind of filter out what you're looking for. But there's lots of really great stuff, and if you find people that have recommendations, that's good too. Well, that kind of thing. But mental, I think, bookmark. You have to like get a special invite, or you have to like apply to become like a creator, like an author on AO3. I don't know. It
doesn't take very long though.
No, they just send you, just have to wait and they send you an email, but
get to know.
Yeah.
I'm ready when I some manifest time being a stay at home mom. I'll try to go look into that.
Yeah, well, this was an episode that went on tangents, and I'm gonna die.
Those are the best kind, though.
No, they are.
I mean, if you're tuning into a podcast called Yap Sesh and you're not expecting it to be a Yap Sesh, then you're in the wrong place. We should do like a couple rapid fire questions of like favorite things.
But yes, are you ready, Chris?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, what is your favorite Star Wars movie?
Empire Strikes Back. I hate saying that, but it's true. It is.
Brooke?
Oh, what's mine?
No, you gotta, you, I
oh. Oh, 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 sorry, I'm not all there. What is your, I don't know anything about The Expanse, but what is your favorite Expanse story, character, thing about
favorite
it?
Character is definitely Amos. My favorite thing about it is that the mechanics, the space mechanics, are as realistic as I've ever read or seen in any science fiction, which I'm going to go on a slight tangent, sorry, which made it really clunky at first. It was hard for me to get into it because it was very ugly and like clunky and like messy and sounds like awful. And then once I got over the fact that like I'm used to Star Wars and Star Trek where it's kind of pretty and like they've got nice stuff, I was like, this is actually pretty rad.
Have you played the Telltale Expanse game?
I just downloaded it and I'm waiting to, I think I'm gonna finish the series first and then I'm gonna go back and play the game.
Cool. Yeah, I've heard good things because it's Telltale's like first thing back after like being not
Telltale's one of my favorite gaming companies, so I'm really excited to play it for sure.
I have I got the Walking Dead Telltale games for Christmas and I started them and I need to get back to them, but I've been enjoying it so far. It's
in my top five favorite games is the Walking Dead Telltale game. It's really
good. I keep seeing the like Ellie or Clementine and I'm like, don't make me choose. I'm gonna pick Ellie, but I also love Clementine. I just haven't finished the game yet, so
I would die for both of them. So
yeah,
that's
yeah. Yeah, speaking of women in sci-fi. There you go.
Sorry. It's still on topic.
Yeah. What is your favorite theme park?
Oh, Disneyland.
I would say let's go with the sci-fi theme. Favorite sci-fi movie that's not a Star Wars movie.
Oh, I said, okay, I'm not going to say 20 Days Later because we talked about that earlier. It's definitely one of them. Oh, no. I think there's too many. Probably Aliens.
Nice. I didn't even talk about
it's Aliens, right? Where she says, get away from her, you bitch. I think it's Aliens or Alien. I always flip them. The stupid S on the Aliens. Excuse me. That one where she...
one Alien movie. And it was
when she's in the big mech suit and she's fighting the xenomorph and she says, get away from her, you bitch. That was one of the first, one of my, that's actually a core memory for me. And so probably that movie.
I'm actually, as much as I love zombie things, I'm not a big horror genre person. I don't like scary things. But I do. So I think I've watched the first Alien, but I haven't watched other ones, but I think I like the Predator series more. I loved Prey. I watched it twice in one day. Like I watched it and my boyfriend got home from work and I'm like, we have to watch this immediately. It is so good. Highly recommend to everybody. I wish they had released it in theaters because that would have been an experience to see it on a big screen. But
oh, and then the runner up would be Fury Road. Sorry, that popped up in my head after the fact. Yeah. Love Mad Max.
What were your feelings on Furiosa?
I haven't seen it yet. I've been waiting to see it with my friend, and because I'm away from all of my friends and family, it's hard to kind of coordinate that. But I would like to see it.
My boyfriend thought he really liked it. I don't think he liked it as much as Fury Road, but
Fury Road was incredible. Like, I saw it. I'm not joking. I saw it 15 times in the theater. I worked next to a theater, and I literally after work would be like, "I'm gonna go watch it again." That's how much I love that movie.
Mm-hmm. You know, a movie is good when you're just like, "I gotta see it again, and again."
I listen to the soundtrack still. Like, love it.
That's a movie I just don't understand. I found myself going like, "Why do people love this so much?"
I love it.
You're a Blade Runner girly though. I feel like that's kind of adjacent. You know, it's very different, but same genre of.
I guess
of
I need to watch it more as an adult. I remember watching it when it came out, and I was like, "Why does everybody love this movie? I do not like this movie. I don't understand this movie." But perhaps, Blade Runner is my favorite ever. Always.
Blade Runner is very good. Probably Blade Runner too. Damn. There's too many.
But anyway, so thank you so much for joining us. This was super fun.
Thank you for having me on. I did have a good time. Don't die.
I've been fine, and then it's like once an hour I get like these really terrible coughing fits. But if you could let the people know where we can find your content and your awesome space.
So I am most active on TikTok, and as you can see, they can see my screen name, right? You see the screen on there? It's BoobaFett on TikTok. I'm also on Instagram, and I usually just repost my TikTok stuff there. Not very active anywhere else. I don't really have the time for it, but come find me on TikTok. And if you don't want to use TikTok, come find me on Instagram, because I repost on there, but.
Excellent. Yeah, we will put all of her information in the description of this episode so you can check it all out for yourself. But until then, thank you all for listening and watching if you're on the YouTubes, and we will yap with you all again soon.